The Late for Dinner Band on Saturday, August 22nd at 7 p.m. More information on this and all Kearney Amphitheater shows at kearneyamphitheater.com.
90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
The only good Indian is a dead Indian.
This Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. I'm Rhonda, your host here for the next hour. Make sure you stay tuned the next half hour. We'll be doing your news across Indian Country, letting you know what's going on. And we're going to get started with some music on this warm, humid afternoon. We got some Robert Mirabel, and this is Indians and Indians. You're listening to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
It's Indians, Indians. Let me tell you about Indians. There's Hollywood Indians, they're fried bread eating Indians, there's wannabe Indians, they're fat, skinny, tall, blonde Indians. Let me tell you about Indians. Some are stoic Indians, Indians that ride hogs. Indians that ride Indians. Some are long-haired, beautiful Indians. Some are radical, free Leonard Peltier Indians. Some of them just don't give a damn Indians. Frankly, I like the type of Indians that always agree to be last on display Indians. Indians, Indians, Indians. Types that like to party and get drunk Indians. Types that like to fight other Indians. Types that like to fight, fight, fight. Go to a powwow, see them in their beautiful regalia, wicked smile, glint in their eyes, Indians. She was from Iowa, looking for an Indian. It didn't matter what kind, just one taller than her. Hey, you wanna see my horses? I met you in the Pueblo. You told me you loved the brown adobe architecture, the church walls painted with cheap stucco. Inside were promises, hundreds of unsure Indians still waiting for something, not too sure of what. And when you're not too sure, very few treasures turn to gold. We spent time that summer. You fell in love. Why? I needed a ride to Santa Fe, so I showed you my horses. I showed you my horses. Carried us east to west, north to south, south to north, west to east. We ran into the winds, secrets were sculpted, sculpted by two naked, sweaty bodies in the desert moonlight. I broke your heart. I broke your heart. You said, I broke your heart. It's not the first time this Indian has done it. I need a ride to Copper Mountain, Colorado, so you oblige. And when you're not too sure, very few Indians I know have ever turned to gold. And I will abide. Besides, very few treasures turn to gold, but all intentions have their own karmic goals.
Supporting 90.1 FM, Kearney Amphitheater presents Levittown and Billy Ebling and the Late for Dinner Band on Saturday, August 22nd at 7 p.m. It's a brand new day. That's Levittown and Billy Ebling and the Late for Dinner Band on Saturday, August 22nd at 7 p.m. More information on this and all Kearney Amphitheater shows at kearneyamphitheater.com.
Do you think the 13th Amendment abolished slavery? Well, it didn't. Find out who is trying to change that at the federal and state level, as well as how the prison industrial complex is cashing in on today's slaves. Oh, and we tell you about this year's Penny Mill Picnic at Blue Valley Park, Monday at 9 a.m. on Jaws of Justice Radio, right after Democracy Now!
All right, you're listening to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Rhonda, your host here. And you were just listening to some Cree Confederation and Robert Mirabel with Indians and Indians. And I do have a guest here with me in the studio. We have Lawrence local Maury Spala.
You want to say hello, hi? Everyone.
Maury is Oglala Lakota from South Dakota. And you might have heard him a couple weeks ago. We were talking with Karen Eagle and about the incident that happened on Pine Ridge or in Rapid City with the students that came from Pine Ridge in Rapid City, where they had beer tossed on them at a hockey game. And Maury gave some insight into, you know, how racism he encountered in Rapid City as well. But we were going to talk about some of the local stuff going on. We had the GOP debate that went on this past week, and a lot of people watched it. And I think it's kind of like a circus that people just want to see, or like, you know, the car accident people always stop to look at, even though they don't know who it is. They always have to look or see what's going on, rubberneck. I guess it was kind of like, you know, kind of like same thing with the train crash, you know, exactly. It's like going downhill.
Or like a TV show currently, like Who's Got Talent or something like that. You just want to see what's going to happen.
Yeah. So it was like, it was pretty crazy, the events that went on that night. First of all, I totally think there's just too many people that were on stage trying to debate. It really was not a debate. It was, let's feed you a question and see what your response is, because the questions obviously were not very hard. Of course, these were on Fox News and very, I don't know, they were not hard-hitting questions. It just didn't seem like that. I don't know. What are your thoughts on what happened?
Well, exactly. They weren't hard-hitting questions, but also I noticed that they weren't really answering the questions. They kind of geared around or found their way around it, and it came back to them, or they were trying to talk about other candidates, maybe from their own party or even other parties. And so it was just really interesting, but a little frustrating as well, because you want them to answer the question. But it just, I didn't think it was really geared towards that. Mm-hmm. It's mainly putting them on stage, letting the world see who they are, first of all, and then start picking out the real candidates.
Yeah, definitely. And I think for a lot of us, like, we didn't know who a majority of the contenders are. Ben Carson, you know, was in there. I never knew who he was or what he did. A neurosurgeon that's running. Of course, we all know Chris Christie, Rand Paul, Donald Trump. Of course, he felt like he was getting the brunt of these questions from Megyn Kelly, which I think one of the things that I really was just, you know, he doesn't care what he says. And I think he does that on purpose because, like, it gets him out there and it gets him the most headlines. And, you know, the one thing which I thought was just really sad when he talked about calling women pigs, that he's like, well, I didn't call women pigs. I called Rosie O'Donnell a pig. And everyone started clapping and hooting and hollering. And it was like, really? You're that low class that you got to chime in and agree with something like that? Like, I don't think any woman should be called a pig. I mean, that's just really rude.
Right.
And so it was kind of like, what kind of audience do you have?
Exactly.
You know, and you know, I don't really recall seeing many of the audience members there, you know, but I mean, it was just really upsetting to hear that, because as a woman, you know, it's like we shouldn't be, you know, talking to each other in that way. You know, be a little classy, have exactly. a little bit of class. And
but yeah, you know, he also put out there that he wasn't really trying to be politically correct.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, if he's trying to go into politics, you have to. But he also has to remember pretty much half the population are women.
Yeah.
And he might have lost that. So he's not going to be a contender if he continues saying stuff like that.
Yeah. And it was, you know, the other ironic thing is you have 10 men debating about women, you know, abortion rights. And it's like, okay, let's have a man decide what's best for a woman. It's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they're all deciding what is best for us as a woman in our health care, but to slash the funds for Planned Parenthood, you know, that's crazy. And they talked about slashing a lot of social services, which help a lot of people out, Medicare, Social Security, you know, stuff that helps get people out of a bad situation. You know, myself, I've been on food stamps before, you know, and it's a difficult thing you have to do, you know, just to make sure you feed your family. And so that's what you have to do. And it helped me out. I'm a taxpaying citizen. And I that's what I had to do in order to live. Mm-hmm. So just some issues. And the one thing, too, as a Native person, they didn't bring up any Native issues. Of course, these things should be important, especially with, like, when it affects our land. We have the Keystone XL pipeline issue. Mm-hmm. A lot of mines being mined on land that Native people hold. Look at what happened this past week with the pollution from the gold mine into the Colorado River.
Yes.
And so, I don't know, it was just really bad that those issues affect everybody. And so it's kind of like, why didn't they have a question about that? Environmental issues.
Mm-hmm. It all comes back to that. If it's not in their backyard, they don't care about it. You know, unfortunately, water is very essential to everyone, everything on this planet. And when they're poisoning it, it's eventually going to go downstream, probably far enough to where their family and friends are going to be affected. So, I mean, they just don't think of the long term, which is really sad. So, I mean, I was actually excited to see that the Navajo Nation saw that happen and they put out a warning. But I think the state of New Mexico is actually going to sue that mine, that mining company, for that pollution, that spill. So I want to see that turn out.
Yeah, and I have that story coming up because I had that.
Oh, good.
It was one of my stories for in about 12 minutes here, so you can stay tuned and listen for that. But yeah, you know, other Native issues. What are other Native? If you were there, if you were a reporter, what would you ask one of our presidential candidates? Have you ever thought about
something?
That?
Yeah, there's so many issues that we have, but the one thing that I really think should be important to everyone is our younger generations. And right now, there's a huge impact of youth suicides, especially on my reservation. But it's kind of going to all these reservations, and Native youth suicides is a very real concern. And so I think that's something that should have been asked. What are they going to do for our future generations?
Definitely. I know the one thing they did ask about was crazy. They were talking about how since Obama's been in office that there's been a reduction in our military force and it's just been, you know, downgraded. And I'm like, no, not really, because the reason our military numbers are going down is because people aren't going into the military.
Yeah.
And I was tweeting as the debate was going on, and I found a story with a link to the numbers of people who are not enlisting because they don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't want to be in the military. I think their words were the military's numbers are being decimated, you know, and it's like, well, Obama didn't do that.
Well, we obviously have enough still to be at war for his whole term, two terms. So I don't think we have a problem with that.
Yeah, and that's their solution was to, we need to send more troops overseas. And, you know, he just brought a bunch of people back.
Right.
And so now they want to send more people over there. And it's like, yeah, that's all I was wondering. And the funny thing, too, is about the military. back in the day, you know, like in World War One, World War Two, even in Vietnam probably era, there was not too many strict standards to get in, like physical fitness. You didn't have to graduate from high school, and then tattoos are a big thing now. Like, if you have a tattoo on your face, you can't go in, or your neck or whatever. They won't let you go enlist. You have to be physically fit now, and then you also have to have your high school diploma. They don't accept the GED. And so I was kind of surprised of how the requirements have gone up, you know, in doing that. And they make sure, they were saying, and part of this article was saying, a lot of people who try to enlist aren't physically fit, and so they have to go and get in shape. So so I thought that was interesting that they were bringing the military up and how much they want to spend more money to send people over. You know, it's kind of like, why? You know, we I don't know. We have problems here in the United States. You know, people shooting in theaters and stuff like that. So those were some issues that came up. So I was tweeting as, you know, it was going on. The next day, I actually was in a tweet chat. We were specifically talking about poverty issues and how those were not discussed by the candidates. Like, how would they get their community out of poverty or help in some way, you know, businesses or job training or anything like that? And again, those were not issues that were discussed. Specifically for me, it was, I was talking about Native communities and how we can get our own people help and do stuff. And I linked to this one article on your reservation about these tiny homes that are being built, these small homes, and the a group organization that's doing that, you know, providing homes for people, but at a reduced cost. You know, I was like, that's a great thing. That's one step in the right direction. You don't have to worry about where you're going to be living, you know? So, you know, those were issues that were being brought up. But yeah, the whole debate was just kind of crazy. I don't know. It was just, I think there was at one point Rand Paul was getting on Chris Christie. It was like a, like an argument going on. And I was actually listening to it online on the radio for a little bit before I tuned in on the television. But yeah, it was a really, I don't know. I wonder how the Democratic debate will be different from the Republican debate. I would hope that they have more better questions, I guess. I don't know. Because, like, they had the pre-debate one where they had Bobby Jindal on there. And I don't know. Did you watch that one?
No, I didn't.
So one of the questions they asked them was, give me a two-word answer of what you think of Hillary Clinton. And it's like, what kind of question is that? You know, of course they're all going to say horrible, mean stuff. And that gives no insight. You know, okay, yeah, I'm going to vote for him because he gave a great two-word answer. You know, that was, you know.
And it was interesting to see how many times she came up in the GOP debate. They should focus on themselves and really provide information to the U.S. citizens on them. How are they going to be a viable candidate for their party? And I didn't see that. Unfortunately, a lot of them are not going to be picked. You can just tell that they're not really politicians. Some were over the top. Some were not enough of a politician to really to be picked. And so it's going to be interesting because there are so many candidates in the GOP. And how are they going to dwindle that down? Is it going to be how much money they have for their campaign? And unfortunately, I mean, that's a sad note,
it
too.
It is, yeah. It's sad that they have, that's, you have to have money to run. And who has the most is Donald Trump. And I think a lot of Democrats are cheering on Donald Trump goes and wins. I don't know. I mean, I don't, it's, I don't know. I just, it was enlightening a little bit. But at the same time, I think there needs to be better questions asked, stuff that's, you know, at the heart of what we think is important. Environmental issues are just so important. Social issues that need to be addressed. And of course, they don't want to ask, you know, the gun debate. You know, they don't want to get into that. And and I think those are, that's the security of where we are. So, you know, those issues need to be addressed. And they certainly were not addressed in this debate. It was just really kind of crazy. I don't know. I really don't know who beyond Donald Trump got more of the questions. answered? Or
I kept flipping back between channels. I couldn't watch the whole thing. I couldn't sit there and torture myself watching the whole thing. So I would flip back through other stations. But what I did see, it seemed like with Donald Trump, he was just out there to get noticed. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't have a filter. Yeah. He's not afraid to say what's on his mind and just kind of riled everyone up, from all the candidates on stage to even the people running the debate. It was very interesting.
Yeah, it was. It was a crazy show. All right. Well, we'll get back into the music. And after this song, we'll come back and I'll do your news across Indian country. You've been listening to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
That were spoken, for the blood we have spilled, for the treaties that were broken, for the leaders you have stilled. Custer died for your sin. Custer died. Now a new day must begin. Just to die for yourself, for the tribes you terminated, for the myth you keep alive, for the land you confiscated, for a free you deprived. Custer died for your sin. Custer died for your sin. Now a new day must begin. Custer died for yourself. You pollute, for the life that you have cost, for the good you prostitute, and for all that we have lost. Custer died for your sin. Custer died. Custer died for yourself. Custer died for yourself. Custer died for yourself. Now a new day must begin. Custer died.
All right. right. You're listening to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Rhonda, your host here. And we'll be doing your news across Indian Country, letting you go what's going on. And like I said, there was that spill that went into the Colorado River, and tons of media attention to it because the river just basically looks yellow. It does not look the same. It's kind of crazy and sad to see that one of, you know, something so beautiful that is just contaminated now. But like Maury had brought up, the Navajo Nation is doing something about that. The Navajo Nation President Russell Begay announced that he intends to take legal action against the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency for the massive release of mine waste into the Animas River near Silverton, Colorado. President Begay made this announcement Saturday evening at the Shiprock Chapter House, which was packed to capacity with concerned community members living along the San Juan River. They are not going to get away with this, President Begay said of the destructive impact to natural habitats and ecosystems that traditional Navajo culture relies on. He said the sludge has migrated into the San Juan River and is winding through the Navajo Nation. The plume is expected to reach Lake Powell by Wednesday. President Begay said the EPA was right in the middle of the disaster, and we intend to make sure the Navajo Nation recovers every dollar it spends cleaning up this mess and every dollar it loses as a result of injuries to our precious Navajo Nation natural resources. I have instructed the Navajo Nation Department of Justice to take immediate action against the EPA to the fullest extent of the law to protect Navajo families and resources. The EPA also needs to fund an independent lab on site for real-time monitoring of chemicals that may migrate into our irrigation or public water system, said President Begay. The chapter members were very appreciative that President Begay and Vice President Jonathan Nez met with them in the moment of crisis as the plume of contamination approached their community. The community shared their stories of struggle and survival along the river and underscored how important farming and ranching is to their way of life and the economy of the region. Shiprock is one of the largest farming communities on the nation. It relies heavily upon irrigation from the San Juan to supply its many farms with water. Navajo EPA will be conducting independent tests on the water and sediment quality, and the nation will utilize the data that is gathered for their own investigation on the contamination. The plume is estimated to be traveling at 4 miles an hour. Harlan Cleveland of Navajo Nation Department of Emergency Management said the contaminated water plume reached Farmington at 8:10 a.m. on August 8 and joined the San Juan River. The plume is more than 80 miles long. Several communities have stopped pumping water from the river, and the San Juan County has issued an emergency declaration and closed the river until further notice. Rex Kuntz, Deputy General Manager of Navajo Tribal Utility Authority, stated in a press release that NTUA water systems from Farmington are fed from different systems isolated from the San Juan River. The Navajo Nation irrigation system ceased pulling water from the river earlier this week. President Begay said the U.S. EPA must provide affected tribal members water for drinking, irrigation, and livestock. In addition, hay and feed will also be needed for livestock. So that's what's going on with this. I'm sure you can go on and on the internet and see the pictures. It's terrible looking on how the it looks yellow. And if it's heading towards Lake Powell, I don't know if you've ever been to Lake Powell, Maury. Have you ever? It's a beautiful place. We used to go to the lake there all the time when I lived in Arizona. And to think that this is going to affect it, it's just, I was like, oh my gosh, that's terrible. It's like, it's such a nice place. And Navajo Nation already, you know, they have limited water resources. And now you're just taking away so much of that. You know, it's like, this is what's going to happen if the XL pipeline goes through. You have one accident, it's going to contaminate that water. You know, it's just bad. All right. Well, out of Wyoming, the Federal Bureau of Investigation has opened a preliminary probe into the shootings of two members of the Northern Arapaho Tribe of Wyoming. According to news reports, tribal leaders traveled to Washington, D.C. last week to meet with Department of Justice officials. They believe Stallone Trosper, 29, who was murdered, and James Sonny Goggles, Jr., 50, who was critically injured after both were shot in the head, were victimized because of their race. Quote, we explained to the DOJ the importance of Sonny and Stallone to their families and to our tribe, Chairman Dean Goggles, who is one of Sonny's cousins, said in a press release. This act of violence is the latest in a history of racism towards Native Americans in the town of Riverton, which sits in the middle of the reservation. Roy Clyde, 32, a non-Indian man, has been charged with murder and attempted murder in connection with the brutal shooting, although he reportedly admitted that he intentionally targeted people whom he believed to be homeless. He is not facing hate crime charges under state law. The FBI's preliminary probe could lead to additional charges under the Matthew Shepard and James Byrd Jr. Hate Crimes Prevention Act, a federal hate crime statute, or other laws. So it's good that they are looking into that and see what's going on. Did you have any thoughts on that?
No. You know, unfortunately, it happens everywhere. But until we, you know, with the use of social media, all the tools that we have, just get the word out and put pressure on our local governments to seek action.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's just, and that one, and then the one that happened on the Crow Nation last week with the family got targeted. Well, they were trying to help somebody.
Yeah.
And he just shot him.
Shot him, and
So, yeah, it's terrible. It's terrible that people have to go through this, and families are being devastated by it. Well, another story off the Navajo Nation. The results of a historic referendum on Navajo Nation have not been certified because of a grievance filed, the Farmington Daily Times reports. According to the unofficial results, 52.5% of voters approved a referendum on July 21st to ease the fluency standard for the tribe's top politicians. And the outcome won't be certified until the Office of Hearings and Appeals resolves a grievance filed by Laverne Joe, the vice president of the Klagitaw chapter in Arizona. Joe alleges the election officials allowed a poster that advocated for the referendum to be displayed inside the chapter house as ballots were being cast. Tribal members there supported the referendum with 65% of the vote. I know it won't change the numbers, Joe told the paper of her grievance, which she filed as a private citizen. Presidential and vice presidential candidates will no longer have to demonstrate fluency in the Navajo language once the referendum is certified. Yeah, and so I thought we might have two of our Navajo friends here so they could talk about that. I don't know, because I wanted to see what they thought about it, because they said that not many of people came out to vote, and then it passed. And so that's why some people were kind of upset. But, you know, I don't know. I think it's good that their own people are voting for these own issues.
Yeah.
I mean, do you guys have something like that on your tribe or no?
Not that I'm aware of. Just because, you know, the one issue I have with my tribe is if you don't live on the reservation, you're not able to vote. You don't have any voting rights, even though you're a member of the tribe. And so a lot of times I don't know of any of the issues that they're voting on. They're not really put out there, and that's something that I want to see change on my tribe. You know, people that live off the reservation have just as much right, because everything that they decide affects us as well, even though we may not live on the reservation.
Yeah, that's kind of strange that you guys have a big tribe and you don't have absentee voting.
And I grew up just an hour and a half north of our reservation, and we have a huge Native population from the tribe there, but we don't have voting rights.
That's crazy, because I know the Navajo Nation does. They have absentee.
I've heard there are other tribes that do have the absentee mail-in ballots and stuff like that, and it should be simple enough with all the tools that we have. But, yeah, they just not forward-thinking, and that's one of the issues I have with them.
It's you know, and unfortunately, your tribe is not the only tribe, you know. I can't even, for my tribe, they follow a traditional leadership, which does not allow Native, I guess, just women to be a part of the leadership. It's all, they pick them. Of course, it's men, so men will always be our leaders. and we have no vote. So, you know, so in one way, it's nice that you're keeping that tradition up. But in another way, you know, it's, wow, you know, I wish we could have some say-so in some stuff. But again, you know, you at least you guys have a right to vote.
Yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of South Dakota, there's another story out of South Dakota. Leaders of the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe of South Dakota rejected a $25,000 donation from the Washington NFL Teams Foundation and ordered Chairman Harold Frazier to stop communicating with the team. The check from the original Americans Foundation was made out to the Cheyenne River Rodeo Association. Presumably, the money would have been used to fund rodeo activities on the reservation, but tribal leaders wanted no part of it. Quote, people may not get the gravity of refusing that Redskins money, Ruth Hopkins commented on Twitter. One of the poorest counties in the U.S. is on the Cheyenne River Rez. We are not for sale. The team announced the original Americans Foundation in early 2014, and some tribes have eagerly accepted the group's funds, but others have rejected the money, calling it an attempt to silence criticism of the team's racist mascot. The foundation is unusual in that it has not announced a governing board or outlined its grant policies, nor has it disclosed the source of its funds. So I know a lot of people were really glad that they turned down the money. Mm-hmm. One of our friends was at the meeting, and he had posted a picture, or he had posted on Facebook that it had been turned down. So he's kind of doing play-by-play for everybody. Raymond LeBeau, who went to Haskell as well, and so he was at that council meeting. So that was great to hear that. I don't know which.
Yeah, I saw that when it was posted as well, and it was really interesting. I wasn't even aware that they were trying to provide them money, and then $25,000, you know, it's a lot to me, but trying to give that to a tribe for any reason, it's really not that much money. And I was really interested in why.
Yeah.
Pretty much, why were they giving it to them? Why were they trying to provide this funding to that tribe? We'll see what happens with other tribes. You know, I'm pretty sure they're going to start shopping it around and offering it to them as well.
I know one tribe, it was in Montana, the Rocky Boy Reservation, accepted money, and they built a playground with the money to do that. And so, again, it's all every tribe's prerogative whether they decide to take that money or make a statement, really. And I think that's what's more important. We were talking about this earlier about, you know, sometimes you have to stand for things and do what's right for the future, because $25,000 isn't going to last 10 years.
Exactly.
So it's kind of like, you know, great that I was really happy that they refused to accept the money. I know I've seen it being talked about on Twitter, and Facebook were sharing that same status over and over again. And then they had like a picture of the check.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like, wow, that was crazy. I actually had a student too who was at the council meeting, which I was really happy that he actually went to the meeting. It was open to the tribal members, and so he went. So I was happy to see him engaging in his community like that. And so that's really exciting to see, you know, when you see your students doing stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So just neat, really nice and neat. All right. Well, so that's your news across Indian country. And we'll get back into music. But there was one thing we were talking about during the break, and Maury had brought it up, was about the people who host the debates. And you had asked a question about has the Native American Journalists Association ever gone and sent someone to, you know, cover that, or maybe potentially ask a question. And, you know, that's really important. It is, because we were talking about diversity and issues that affect different races. You know, the same things that affect Native people don't affect Hispanic people, so, or Asian people for that matter. You know, so we have different issues that affect one another, but those are all chosen by the networks. And so the only time that I know that Naja has been involved in asking potential president questions has been Unity, where we had Unity journalists, where we had a convention every 4 years that followed the four-year progress of the elections. And we would invite the presidential candidates to Unity to have a discussion. And so that was an opportunity for each group, the Native American Journalist Association, National Association of Hispanic Journalists, the Asian American Journalist Association, and National Association of Black Journalists, to have one person from each group ask a question. And I don't know if you remember that famous one where Mark Trahan asked Bush what sovereignty meant. Mm-hmm. That was where we were given that opportunity to ask a question. Of course, no mainstream media person is going to ask a candidate what sovereignty means. They probably like, I don't even know what sovereignty means. But, you know, it was funny because that's what Unity provided us the opportunity to do. And it was funny because in 2008, I was selected for NAJA to submit a question or ask a question. But then something happened, and that's when Barack Obama had declared his candidacy and he was going to be there. Something happened where they had to reduce the time. And so I got shifted out and my colleague got put in, because there was two of us. It was me and a gentleman named Brian Bull, who works for a radio station in Ohio. And he was actually at the debate, the pre-debate this past week. So he was there reporting on it. But anyway, Brian was the one who was asking the question. So I got pushed out of that. I'm like, man, I was this close. This close. Yeah, I could have asked Barack Obama a question.
So you already had a question?
Yeah, I already had the question. It was about Native education. And so, so it was just crazy because I remember, like, they were like, okay, you got to do this, and you had to have a background check and all this craziness. But it was fun. So, again, all that is decided by the networks and who they're going to have do that stuff. But unfortunately, like this last one, you know, no people of color. There were no race issue questions. That, again, race is a big deal. You know, we had the 1 year anniversary of Ferguson, you know, which not many people were talking about. I don't know, you know. So, yeah, it was terrible. But anyway, so that's kind of, you know, what we were talking about for the debate and why we think diversity is important and why you need different groups asking questions, because you're going to get, you know, different things coming out of it, out of that discussion. So, yeah. All right. Well, we get back into the music, and let me see what I have here. I think I have some Jim Pepper for you guys. You're listening to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Eddie Bellahead, Bo Shungi.
right, that was Jim Pepper. And you're listening to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. And it's about my time to be getting out of here. And Sunset Reggae is coming up for you guys next. So make sure you stay tuned for that. I hope you enjoyed today's show. Thank you to Maury for joining us.
Thank you for having me once again.
Yeah, it was fun just sitting here just chewing the fat.
Okay.
I know about anything. It was funny because we always have these conversations in the car or hanging out, you know, just, what do you think about this? And, I think I almost caused a race war on Twitter because, you know, me and Maury watched this show called Naked and Afraid XL. And so it's like an extended version of the Naked and Afraid where they're on there for 21 days. Now they're there for 40 days. And I asked, hey, why are there never any Native Americans on these shows? I was like, I think we would survive.
Right.
So, or somebody was telling me I was trying to divide us, you know, bringing race into it. And I'm like, what? I didn't know that. I didn't mean to do that. But anyway, yeah, so we have some crazy conversations. So you can follow me on Twitter at Rhonda Lovaldo or Facebook, Rhonda Lovaldo. Find me on there. But everybody have a wonderful week, and I'll see you again next Sunday. We're leaving you off with some Cheever's Topa.
Remember the things you've done for me. Hey, oh.